part of our service this morning here on Facebook Live, as well as the few that we have here in our sanctuary. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. Our worship service is it's complete from the PDF that was posted on our Facebook page and on our web page. Everything's in there, including our hymns and all the readings and all the responsive readings as well. Our text for this morning's message is from that gospel lesson, which is the story, which is traditionally the story for the second Sunday, or for the third Sunday of Easter, which is the Emmaus disciples, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they're on their way there. And something that's really, really struck me about this is that as they were going, Jesus joins them. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So it wasn't that they didn't recognize him on their own, it was that their eyes were kept. Jesus actually hid himself. And Jesus does that. He hides himself many times in the scriptures where he, and then when he does, in our text today, and when he does reveal who he is, he disappears. This is the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Many times he just appears and disappears. And the thing is that Jesus has hidden his physical body from us today as well. In other words, we don't see him as the disciples, as the apostles saw him. But he does appear to us. He does show us himself in Scripture and in the sacraments, which is where he said he would be. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in our message today. Our opening hymn, and before we get started, I'm sorry, just a couple of notes. First, I want to thank everybody for your cards and your prayers for me and my family at the death of my mother. Also, if you have not heard, Judy Seville passed away on Friday night, sometime Friday night or Saturday morning. And we'll be praying for Jerry and for the rest of the family as well. But as I said, thank you very much for all of your cards and your thoughts and your prayers for us. With that, then, we begin our service as we sing together our opening hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. On Canaan's side, songs of praises, songs of praises I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intro for the day is from Psalm 133. We read it responsively. Behold, how good and pleasant it is. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, how good and pleasant it is
when brothers dwell in unity.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right.
of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray together the collect for the day, which is printed in your bulletin. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this, the third Sunday of Easter, is from the second chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 14 and continuing with verse 36. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, and saying, "Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gradual is an adaptation from Matthew 28, from Hebrews 2, and from Psalm 8. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. Our epistle is from the first chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with the 17th verse. "If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as we sing together the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are having, that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message, as I said before, is from that gospel reading we read just now, just a few moments ago. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Dear friends in Christ. And as they're going along, a stranger shows up on the road to talk to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And yeah, let's face it, it's just like Jesus to do this, to come in incognito, undercover. He basically hides himself. Prophet Isaiah actually tells us in Isaiah 45:15, God hides himself. He says this, "Truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior." God hides himself. He's not going to let himself become visible. Yet, it's actually in his hiding himself that Jesus shows himself to be our Savior. See, it's not that the Emmaus disciples were confronted with a case of mistaken identity. Their eyes were actually kept from recognizing Jesus. And it wasn't that the Lord Jesus was absent from them. He was right there, right with them on the road. But there was a strange thing that happened. They were prevented from recognizing Jesus, which is kind of an interesting thing to think about. They couldn't see him basically for who he was or is. Jesus, to them, is a stranger on the road. So as the conversation goes on, they talk about their disappointment, about what had happened in Jerusalem these past 3 days, and what their hope is, and the fact that their hope is now gone. It's a dead hope, if you will. And then the Lord Jesus, well, he interrupts Cleopas, who is the one that's speaking to him. He interrupts the two of them. And he says, "Foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interprets to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is what Jesus does. He says, "Listen, don't you realize this is how it was supposed to happen? This was the plan all along. You don't have to lose hope. Your hope is not dead." And so what does he do? They urge him, as they get to their destination, they urge him to stay with them. And he does that for a little while. And then notice what he does. This is just a great thing he does. They invite him to stay there with them. And as they're at the inn, breaking bread, Jesus takes on the position of the host. And what does he do? He blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives it to them. He's pretty much reenacting what had happened on Maundy Thursday. He's breaking the bread and handing it to them. And then what happens? Their eyes were open. They recognize there's Jesus. And then he vanishes. That's one of those funny things that happens in Scripture sometimes. They recognize that this stranger who's with them is none other than the Jesus whom they saw crucified, the one on whom all of their hopes were pinned. And they see him, and he's alive. He is risen from the dead. He's alive. He's sitting right there in front of them. He's not a phantom. He's not a ghost. He's Jesus. And when their eyes are opened and they see who it is that's standing there, who's sitting there with them, who's broken the bread with them, he disappears. It's like, what was the whole point of this, Jesus? But there was absolutely a point. One of the things we always have to realize is Jesus in his glorified body, and even in his earthly ministry, Jesus can do with his body what he wants to do. There is a Christian singer back in the 80s. His name was Leon Patillo. And I'll never forget the story. He was talking about Jesus walking on water. And he said, "Listen, Jesus is the one through whom all things were created. So if he doesn't want gravity to work for a while, cool. He'll just float for a while." He's the one who created it. And that's what it is. His body isn't confined to geography. It's not confined to time because it's the Lord's body. With his body, locked doors, well, there's no barrier there anymore. And he doesn't have to stay put in one place at a time. You notice what happens on the evening, the first evening of his crucifixion. He suddenly appears in the upper room with the disciples and says, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid." He does the same thing a week later when Thomas is there with them. "Peace be with you. Touch my hands. Put your hand in my side." See, Jesus is no longer bound by time and space. The one thing that we can be sure of is that where he puts himself there for you and me, for us. Wherever he puts himself there for us. See, God doesn't invite us to search for him where he can't be found. He doesn't tell us that you have to search all of the cosmic reaches of space in order to find him. Well, he doesn't even say, look for Jesus in the depths of your own soul. Where do you find Jesus? We find him in the Scriptures and in the sacraments. We find him in his word and in his body and blood, in the water of holy baptism, in the body and blood of the Lord's Supper. That's where we are given to find Jesus now. You see, it's really tempting in these days because of all the fear that's going around. It's really tempting to say, where is God in the midst of things that we don't understand? Or why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Maybe sometimes we're even expecting God to answer with the signs and the blessings that he never promised us that he would do. You know, he never said that we would live our lives free from anything in the world. That's not how this works. There's a 70s song that always comes to mind. "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden." In fact, Jesus actually promised the opposite. He said, "When all these things happen to you, know that I am with you." Because these things will happen. It's very tempting to wonder where God is in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a spouse, my mother, a spouse dying. Where is God in the midst of all this? God is right there, where he promises to be, in his word, in his scriptures, in his sacraments, right where he said he would be. And so, of course, Jesus is now raised from the dead, and because he's raised from the dead, he's free and he's loose to be wherever he puts himself for us. And we don't have to doubt as to where that is because he tells us. I mean, look what he does for these men on the road to Emmaus. He hides himself from those men on the road to Emmaus so that he might reveal himself to them, to show himself where and when it pleases him. And this is how Jesus wills to be known to us. As I said before, in the Scriptures, in his word is where he shows us who he is. It's the Scriptures, of course, that testify about Jesus. Notice what he does. He opens the Scriptures, starting with Moses and all the prophets. He opens the word of God to these people and about all the things that testify about him. That's what he does. He opens the Scriptures to them. He opens the Scriptures to us too, to show us the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is how Jesus wants to be known to us and by us in his Scriptures, so that he's preached as the very Son of God who had to be handed over to evil men. There's a word in there that I've talked about before. It's a Greek word, dei, dei. The word itself means it is necessary. It's a divine necessity. And that's what it is. It was necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory. It had to happen this way. The redemption that the Emmaus disciples had hoped for had indeed, had absolutely taken place. but not with some act of political defiance or liberation. It happened in the death of God's own Son. When Christ Himself died and paid the price for our release, not with silver, not with gold, but with His own blood. And that is what was necessary. It was necessary. It was necessary for us and for our salvation. It has been done already. The work is completed for you and me. As Jesus said from the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. The Greek word is tetelestai, it is finished. Christ was put to death for our trespasses and raised again for our justification. And yet even after His resurrection, the Lord Jesus hides His glory. He doesn't overwhelm these road-weary travelers on the road to Emmaus with a blinding flash of dazzling radiance. He saves that for Paul a little bit later. So bright a flash was it that it blinded Paul. No, He comes to them as a stranger whose identity is concealed from their eyes. And this stranger reveals Himself in His words that interpret the Scriptures concerning Himself, and then in the breaking of the bread. And what the Lord did for those Emmaus disciples, He does for you and me as well. Our eyes are kept from seeing Him the way He was seen then. There will come a day when we will see Him, His glorified body. And on that last day, the Lord Jesus Christ will no longer be hidden, concealed from our view. Actually, on that day, all eyes will be upon Him, either to their everlasting joy or to their eternal shame. And then we will behold Him and not another. Then in our flesh, we shall see our Redeemer as Job speaks about it, as he confessed in the Old Testament. Then we will see Him, but not yet. Not yet. Now, to recognize Jesus means that He actually vanishes from our sight. He hides Himself so that we can learn to hear Him, to trust in Him. Because faith doesn't come from sight, right? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. See, now we're not given to see Him. Instead, we're given to hear Him. Luther always said faith comes through the ears. We hear Him as He speaks to us in the preaching, in this reading of His Scriptures. His words are spirit. They are life. We hear Him in His word of absolution that declares you are forgiven of your sins. That's where you hear Christ. You hear Him not at the ordinary supper table there on the road, at the inn there on the road to Emmaus, or the road stop near Emmaus. We hear Him at His holy supper, where He gives us His body to eat and His blood to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, through Christ's body and blood, we are forgiven. We are reconciled to God. In fact, our eyes are opened as well. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. He vanished from their sight, but not from their hearing, not from what they heard. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen. Please stand now as we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name would be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily in sacrifice to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands, we commend all for whom we pray, all those who are in need of your healing touch, for our dear brother, Jerry Johnson, for Terry Cook as he recovers, and for Jerry Seville and for Fred Motter, all of whom are fighting cancer or for some other illness. We pray, O Lord, that you would heal them according to your will and according to your way. Be with those who grieve and those who mourn, especially for Jerry Seville as he grieves the death of his dear wife of 55 years, Judy. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with him, and we commend to you her soul. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for these and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing together the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people in the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
Let us pray.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Once again this week, we will be offering Holy Communion for small groups and families. I'll be doing it just in the afternoons, Monday through Thursday, from about 1:30 through 4 o'clock. The sign-up sheet will be up today. So go ahead and you can go to either the Facebook page or to our webpage and click on the link there to sign up. But that'll be this week, this coming up week, next Sunday. Unless we are released from our restrictions, we'll be back here at 9 o'clock a.m. God's blessings and peace be with you all. Amen. Now go in peace. Serve the Lord.